Good morning. Happy Sabbath. You know, every week the elders have a call session where we get together Thursday night, and most of us have a little notification reminds us Thursday night, 8:30, the elders in the church, we have a prayer by phone time together. And during the prayer time, Elder Mike Rich was asking me, he said, "So, who is Christian enemy number one?" So you're going to have to come and see. When we think about Christian enemy number one, I already saw people online when I announced what the sermon topic was. Well, that's the devil. No, not really. You know, you probably heard the expression public enemy number one. You know who the first public enemy number one was? Emperor Nero. That's right. 68 AD, he was declared by the Senate to be Hostis Publicus. You don't ever want that title. And he ultimately was committed suicide with the help of a servant. And then we had, you know, the roaring 20s and 30s where eventually the FBI was formed. And but at first, Chicago started to declare people public enemy. And you had a number of people were public enemy number one. You had John Dillinger and Pretty Boy Floyd and Babyface Nelson and Bonnie and Clyde, Machine Gun Kelly. Al Capone was a public enemy number one. There's Dillinger up there. And more recently, one that you've probably heard in the news. Did you know that Joaquin El Chapo Guzman was public enemy number one? Now we think about these things. For them to be declared the number one public enemy would mean that they're bringing a lot of misery into society, a lot of violence, a lot of drugs, a lot of broken families and deaths, and Dillinger was robbing banks and murdering people, Capone, all the organized crime in Chicago. And so when I say Christian enemy number one, you might automatically think that it was the devil. I'll just tell you that this Christian enemy number one has caused more war, divorce, drug abuse, persecution, pain, and death than any other individual. And you might be wondering, well, if it's not the devil, is it alcohol, pornography, COVID vaccine, the Pope? Who is Christian enemy number one? All right, now's the moment for the great reveal. Do you have a mirror on you? You remember when Nathan the prophet told this stirring story to David about this terrible man who took his neighbor's prized sheep, the family pet, killed it and fed it to some guests. David was so outraged, and he said, "That man is going to pay fourfold, and he's going to die." And Nathan said, "You're the man." You remember when Jesus sat around the table during the Last Supper and he said, "This night, one of you is going to betray me." And one by one, they went around the table. They said, "Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I? Lord, is it I?" Finally, Judas said, "Lord, is it I?" And Jesus said, "Thou hast said." So, public enemy number one, Christian enemy number one, I should say, is you. You are your biggest enemy. When I get up in the morning and I look at the mirror, I look at my biggest problem in being a Christian. And you probably agree with me that it would be my biggest problem. But you might want to point to your neighbor right now and say, "You are your biggest problem." You might not want to do that too. But that's the truth. It's self. Selfishness is the number one enemy for the Christian. So in the presentation this morning, we're going to be talking about four things. We're going to talk about the condition, the cause, the crisis, and the cure. First, let's take a moment and talk about the condition of selfishness, which is bringing so much misery into our world. Heard about two kids that were riding on one of those rocker horses that's got the springs, and a little brother and his little sister, they're bouncing around, and finally The brother said, if one of us would get off, there'd be more room for me. One of us would get off, more room for moi. Isaiah 53, verse 6, what is the problem? The condition is all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to, you know the rest of that? His own way, all doing our own thing. It's like Judges chapter 21, 25, where it said, in those days there was no king in Israel, but everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Selfishness is just kind of chronic. It's so hard for me to go 10 minutes without thinking about myself. And when you really think about it, yourself is the reason behind most of the decisions that you make. It's not all bad. I'll get to that in a minute. What is selfishness? Selfishness is excessively or exclusively concerned with oneself, seeking one's own advantage, pleasure, or well-being without regard for others. It's not a sin necessarily to think about yourself, but whenever you do something selfish or if you sin, you know, you cannot always say the devil made me do it. Sometimes when we sin, it's just because we want to. The devil might exploit your natural selfishness, but we are all naturally, since the fall, motivated by love for self. James says in James 1, verse 13 and 14, let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted to evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. We've got our own built-in desires, and we're drawn away by these and enticed. Can't always blame the devil. Now, it is not a sin to love yourself. You're just not supposed to be loving yourself supremely. What's the great command? Love the Lord, love your neighbor as yourself. Do you notice it never really commands you to love yourself? It assumes you already do. The things that are commanded in the Bible are things we naturally have a problem with. The Bible says, you shall not lie. Why? Because we lie. We got a problem with that. You're not to steal, you're not to covet, and so forth. It's because it's commanding us not to do the things we're naturally prone to. There's not an 11th commandment that says, love yourself more. Because that sort of comes naturally. Now, there are quite a few verses that say, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22, 29. Galatians 5, 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Quoting from Leviticus 19, 18. And then James 2, 8. For if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. I have no problem with the second part of that, the loving myself. The hard part is loving my neighbor as I love myself. Am I alone? Anyone else out there struggle? The whole gospel is summed up. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 12, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. A couple of kids were sitting in a Bible class, and the teacher said, if someone strikes you on one cheek, Jesus said you need to turn to them the other. A boy hearing that got a great idea, and he pulled on the braid of the girl in front of him. He says, now you got to let me pull the other one. And we kind of turn it around. In fact, you would not be alive if you did not have a little bit of normal love for yourself. You'd never eat. You'd never rest. You want to take care of yourself. You'd walk right out into buzzing traffic. You wouldn't survive very long unless you didn't have a certain naturally wired propensity to preserve your life, to care for yourself. Even people that struggle with low self-esteem are sometimes really struggling with worry too much about themselves. They don't think they're worth much because they're thinking a lot about what others think of them. See what I'm saying? And so I realize that I'm not diagnosing anybody here, and there's some serious conditions, but I have met a lot of people that they're constantly struggling and depressed, and when you talk to them, their depression springs from a preoccupation with themselves. A lot of people who are really liberated are the ones who take up their cross daily, and they're not worried about what everybody thinks about them because they're dead. And you can't hurt the feelings of a corpse. When you're crucified with Christ, it doesn't bother you. So let's talk a little bit about the cause. Why do we have this problem? Some of you have heard of the word narcissism, and it comes from Greek mythology about a character, Narcissus, who was a hunter and supposed to be extremely good looking. And one day going through the woods, he saw this crystal clear pool of water, and he leaned over and he looked in the pool to get a drink, and he saw his reflection. And he was so enchanted with his own reflection, he fell in love with his own reflection. And he could not pull himself away from the pond, and he ultimately starved to death because of love with himself. And that's where we get the word narcissism. I've also heard the daffodils have a scientific name of the narcissus flower. Well, that's just Greek mythology, but the Bible says that it really did begin with a being that was so in love with himself. Isaiah 14 talks about the devil. Lucifer, not happy with his glorified station, he was a beautiful angel, brilliant, smart, and he decided to put the equation backwards. See, the equation is love the Lord with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. Someone said the secret to happiness is joy. Jesus, others, you. J-O-Y. Jesus first, others, you. We usually flip it around. And it's always us first. Someone said that the word sin, I is in the middle of sin. It's always about I. The word pride, P-R-I-D-E, I is in the middle of pride. And selfishness is at the heart of so many of our problems. I do marriage counseling every now and then. And in almost every case, it's the dispute, the friction, boils down to selfishness. In almost every case. Probably every case. I'm just leaving an opening in case I'm wrong. But every case I could think of, it was selfishness on the part of one or both, usually both. One usually more than another, in my opinion. And that just brings about all kinds of problems. So the devil, he wasn't happy with his station. He wanted God's place. For you have said in your heart, it was a heart problem, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. He wanted to be God. You know what the first commandment is? You shall not have any other gods. Whenever you're selfish, you're breaking the first commandment. I'm not saying if you're hungry and you feed yourself, you've broken the first commandment, but when you start behaving selfishly, you're really putting self-worship ahead of God worship. And virtually any kind of idolatry springs from selfishness. Matter of fact, breaking all of the commandments usually is connected with selfishness. Love is the fulfilling of the law. They're opposites of each other. The motive behind everything the devil does is selfishness. He is completely preoccupied with self-love and pride. Jesus is the ultimate diametric antithesis of the devil. The devil is completely controlled by the motive of self. Jesus was completely controlled by, what does the Bible say? God is love. All of us are struggling between those two driving motives in our hearts. The new heart, why are we willing to walk in God's ways? Because the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts because of love for God and love for others. Because God loves us, we start loving others because He loves them and we love what He loves. And that's how you flip that equation upside down instead of always putting ourselves. You know, you can do some very holy things for selfish reasons. You can give money to the church so that you can make a big impression. You can give money, that's selfish. You can give money to the church so you can ease a guilty conscience. That's selfish. I've heard a lot of pastors quote from Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, talking about, prove me now, he'll open the windows of heaven, he'll pour you out a blessing. I've done it. I've quoted that. And we're playing on the selfishness of the members. What will I get? I'll get a blessing. Okay, I'll give. Not love for God or love for their fellow man. They're wanting their barns to flow over, right? And so we can do, Jesus, he attacked the root of this in the beginning of his preaching. He said to the hypocrites, he said, you pray to be seen of men. You can pray selfish prayers, trying to impress the people who are listening. You're not even thinking about God listening. You're worried about the people who might be listening. Talking about public prayers, not private ones. Jesus, they pray to be seen of men. They fast. I want everyone to think I'm pious and religious and self-denying. And Jesus said they would disfigure their faces. And they go, and someone would say, what's wrong? Oh, don't worry about me. I'm just fasting. How long's it been? Breakfast. Haven't had anything for breakfast. And they try to impress people with their holiness. He says, you pray to be seen. You fast to be seen. You give to be seen. They go to the church, get ready to make an offering. They say, can we get the trumpeters over here? Blow the trumpet. Look at this, everybody. And they drop their big offering in the box. And Jesus said, they didn't give anything. The only reward they get is not from heaven. It's the glory of men. But that widow over there that put in her last two mites that doesn't want anyone to notice, she has given more than all of them. Because she did it out of love for God. So, see, so many things we do on the outside religiously. Satan said, I will be like the Most High. But you know, selfishness is the road to self-destruction. What will be the end of the devil? Self-destruct. What happened to Judas? Hung himself. And King Saul? Fell on his sword. And Ahithophel, the counselor of David, he hung himself. People that were living for selfishness, they tend to self-destruct. The ones who have eternal life are the ones who put God first. Steps to Christ, page 17, a great quote here. Man was originally endowed with noble powers and a well-balanced mind. He was perfect in his being and in harmony with God. His thoughts were pure, his aims holy. But through disobedience, his powers were perverted. And here it is, friends. Selfishness took the place of love. Bingo. Underscore that. Selfishness took the place of love. Adam and Eve, when created, their hearts were filled for love for God, love for each other. And then after sin,